you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I like these mornings where we're just like fresh out of bed.
Fresh out of bed. I've spoken to precisely no one but you so far. Words do not come easily. You know, Andrea, because you've had clients and mostly have been able to work and keep your workflow and your social skills going, I'm having trouble. I was talking with our new neighbors and doing like weird averting my eyes and being shy and not knowing what to say. And they were like, what do you do? And I was like, nothing.
Like, you ran back in the house with your arms flailing in the air.
Truly, and please, I'm the first to do the coy sort of like, well, I sort of work in entertainment, you know? And this time around, I was like, I just do dishes.
It's like pure existential crisis mode. Simple questions about your life.
I was just like, don't you guys want to talk about the vaccine some more?
Yeah, you guys want to do some vax talking?
I know. I realized that's like a really tough question. So what do you do? And it's like, what do you mean? I've been in quarantine for over a year. Anyways,
this is what I do. I sit here all day. Fuck off. Also, please touch me. Welcome to Side Work Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Wallace.
Yes, and I'm your other host, Brooke Van Poplin. Welcome to another week as we get closer to getting out there.
We went to a bar. We went to the Fable and it was glorious.
I had a great time like a week ago, you know, because it's sort of like we are frozen in time. We have seen each other for the entirety of this quarantine. And Tom was like the last person I saw before I blinked and lost a year of my life. Yeah. So it was easy to talk to you guys, you know, but anything outside of that reality, I'm just like, oh, don't look at me. I'm from the other time. I don't know. That was before times, Brooke, you know? And
yeah.
But there are articles coming out saying that, like, feeling socially awkward, you're not the only one, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And same thing with, like, not ready just to get back out there because you're too scared you're going to die. Totally cool. Even though you're fully vaxxed and science is backing your, you know, positive outcome and everything, it's just going to take a lot, man. And we should all absolutely just be aware of it for each other, you know?
Right. Have, you know, like, if you were capable of having empathy this last 14 months, gotta lean into it even more, you know? We're all absolutely just going to be saying and doing weird things in public. So.
Yeah, I think part of growing up is like seeing someone else's perspective, like, and not getting defensive, like, generally. So it's like everybody's got to like grow up quick when it comes to this.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
And I've got like two major milestones happening today and tomorrow. I agreed to do stand up and entertain basically a staff of healthcare workers on the East Coast. So I know.
Wow.
I know, but over Zoom, which I refuse to do this entire time, to do any comedy over Zoom. So I'm coming out of retirement and then going right back in. But I'm literally shaking in my boots about entertaining people over Zoom in 6 hours from now. And then I'm going to be hanging out with a 5-year-old. I'm going to see my niece.
Oh, it's Miss Sage, little Miss Sagey.
Yep.
That's great.
I know.
That's so awesome.
I know. I'm super excited. So big, big steps. Next time we talk, I think I'll have a progress report on my social skills.
Good. Well, update. I've been solo all week because Brian went to Maryland to see his family. So I cleaned up my diet on as of Sunday. But prior to that, I was just like, I guess I'll eat another burrito, not laying down, but still I was like, eat it, then immediately lay down. Like,
yep. It's fine. I feel like I'm almost having like a few last hurrahs of quarantine where it's like I sort of started getting my life together, but then I'm like, you know, this like life of leisure is going to be over soon, so let's have pizza 4 times this week.
I know. It's actually been harder for me to stay on task with like diet and exercise since I've been working so much, quite honestly.
Sure. Like, but that's life. You always feel like you have to give something up to,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely.
I'm sort of missing like the hustle and bustle of like running my ass off in a restaurant where you can barely get a meal in and you got like 20,000 steps during that shift. And
oh yeah, that's what I do at work. I do sit on my ass because I sit in a chair all day and work, which like kills my hips. But like when I'm done with an 11-hour day at work, I feel exactly like I did after working like a double or a crazy night shift, like waiting tables.
Totally.
My body has those like heavy sighs that you keep letting out after your shift is over. Oh my God. Well, what is this viral candy toilet video? I don't know what this is.
Oh God. Well, all right. I'm going to send you to look at it. It got the world in an uproar late last week, but basically this video was going around of a woman having some sort of, you know, get together, you know, COVID safe small gathering, but she comes off like an influencer doing these like really crafty, you know, like food hacks or whatever. And I immediately felt shame of like being on a show for 4 years that was like all about life hacks. And even I was like, I don't think we would even stoop that low. Like I had a moment. But basically she makes punch in a toilet bowl that she claims to have cleaned out. And so she's emptied the toilet tank up top and the toilet bowl itself, and she clogs it. So if you haven't seen this, you have to just go check
out. Oh, no, I'm looking at the clog part.
Oh, God. So I think it's called The Anna Show. Like, if you just Google The Anna Show toilet punch, it'll pop up. But basically, she fills it with ice, then puts, like, 2 gallons of sherbet ice cream on top of the ice, then covers it with gummies, then fills the toilet tank with sodas like Fanta and some sour candy, and then is like, okay, so here's the magic part of it is she's like, when I flush, the punch is gonna come through the receptacle and mix it all up. Yes. So I remember Sean and I were watching it together, and we just both were like, I don't know what to feel. Like, you know, it's like we've been through enough through this quarantine, you know?
Yeah.
And we felt kind of not. So long story short, everyone went crazy. There's like the camp of people who are like, damn, that looks good. I hate to admit it. I would have a glass. And then obviously like people who are just like, I think you killed my last bit of, you know, hope for the world. But it was a prank. Which I was like, it has to be. I mean, I know that there are these videos of all these very like virtuous, weirdo, bored housewives like all over the country. You know, did you see the video of like the woman making like nachos on a table? Like she covered the whole thing. Like
this is all just going back to like, we want plates. Let's admit it. Like,
I know. Which some of you have done your due diligence and you checked out We Want Plates and you've been messaging us about it, and you're also mad, which is, but like, But like the thing with this woman though is we're like, oh, it's a spoof. Like, but she's not funny. And honestly, like if you're a parody account, I just expect like a little bit of comedy. Instead, she like pissed everyone off and horrified them. I was like, that's not parody. This was a prank.
I think like the funny part of like the toilet would be like if it keeps running at a party and it's really annoying, you keep having to like jiggle the handle, you know, things like that could be funny. But remember like way back 1,000 years ago, we did like, I think, nostalgia restaurants, and there was the Taiwanese place that serves everything in little toilets. Like,
I mean, we're all nostalgic for that, obviously.
I mean, I'm really like gearing up to get out there and get that toilet juice, which is just what COVID is. It's just another nickname for COVID.
Oh, God. Toilet juice. Yeah. Well, I don't know. But I think there are people who are doing it in a funny way, doing the spoofs, you know, where like a Food Network star basically got everyone riled up. She's like, today I'm going to make a traditional Midwest salad. And she just mixed popcorn with mayonnaise. And everybody got so fucking pissed. They're like, Midwest food is a lot more complicated and nuanced than that. And I'm like, is it though? Is it though?
Well, the popcorn, anyway, we don't have to get
into to get into that. Can be a whole topic, but... But okay, toilet punch lady, it was fake. But definitely go check it out so you can feel all sorts of horrifying feelings for a few minutes.
Or if you yourself have any stories about toilet punches, whether you put things in toilet or something destroyed you and you had to punch the toilet with your butthole. Oh, wait, we've done that before.
No.
More bathroom stories is what I'm saying.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, if this jiggles a memory loose. Okay, anyways, send us a story. Okay, real quick, not a whole lot to talk about the podcast or the network just yet, other than we are all available now on Pandora.
Ooh.
If for some reason you listen to Pandora. No.
Let's really sell ourselves. I'm just a Spotify where you can also find us. You can find us everywhere, but Pandora is the newest one, which is fancy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's cool. I mean, maybe I'm just thinking of like what kind of music would then inspire someone to listen to Cyborg Podcast, you know?
Well, what fun game. Yeah. What I like is that you do like get an algorithm that would be like your favorite podcasts, you know, like all clumped into one and kind of like a whole roulette of like which episode from which one of my favorite podcasts is going to play next. That's what I think is fun.
Right.
Well, let's jump into some headlines, shall we?
Let's do it, man.
All right. So first headline today out of Chicago. Oh, boy. From Second City. If they haven't been under enough fucking scrutiny in the past year, I tell you what, this place. All right. So Second City sold to a private equity firm. And so based out of New York. And in doing such, they have fired their entire night staff. That has waited out the pandemic be able to come back to work. And specifically, this Chicago Tribune story leans into John Kramer, who was a staple. He was a bartender at the Second City since 1981. That's 40 fucking years, Brooke. You know, you and I being, you know, having met in Chicago and cut our teeth, like doing improv and comedy there, I know so many people who have worked at Second City, fucking been bussers and hosts and dishwashers and servers. And John Kramer was there the whole time. Not only that, like, talk about a 40-year span. Like, how many people he saw, like, be servers and bussers. Like,
right.
Jordan, and I think Jordan Peele was a host. Stephen Colbert was a waiter, you know. So he's part of this institution like anybody else. And this company just came in and fucking fired everybody.
I mean, that's just, to me, even doing that to someone who had been loyal for 5 or 10 years, like that is really, truly someone giving you their loyalty. There are a lot of places you can go work in Chicago, and there are also other really fantastic comedy theaters. And to have your loyalty to the comedy theater itself, and then also to working there and being part of that experience and being that consistent person. Because, you know, it's like the students, the players, the main stage, it's they all love the bartenders. And sometimes, like, we would see, like, at I.O. or Improv Olympic, the bartenders were also performers. And people on stage will throw to the bartender to do bits. They can get in on it. It's this very magical, immersive. They're not just your bartender slinging drinks. They are also a performer and part of the whole Second City experience.
Absolutely. And obviously there's a reason why he stayed there for as long as he did. So the new owners are outsourcing to a catering company.
I know. God damn.
Which is almost like a little, it cuts even deeper a little bit. Like, obviously the company, which is a local Chicago company, I'm not blaming them, but of course, like, I'm sure all these new, like, servers, especially if they're just like cater waiters coming in, are going to be looked at like scabs, which sucks, right? Like, for everybody fucking involved. But after a big backlash through all of this, the company was like, they were basically like, if you want your job back, you have to, like, reapply for it, which is fucked up, right? They're like, sorry, you're fired. You can come back, but you have to get in line with everybody else. So after a big uproar, they were like, okay, well, we'll leave it. We'll stop, like, the hiring process. We'll put it on hold. So you guys have 7 days. We'll give you 1 week to apply first. But I don't think that gives anybody, like, a heads up other than, like, you can just put in your application before anybody else. So Kramer's fucking done. Like, he's like, I would never in a million years go back. But it's just like,
well, and there's a life lesson right there, knowing when to just pack it up and hang on to your dignity. You know, it's sad that he gave that much, but he can look back on it as a legacy. And it just really is a bummer that even these, like, it's not that the whole institution went down. It survived the pandemic, but then made, I think, a selfish and shitty choice. 100%. And that's what's really sad, is not looking out for the people who've been by your side this entire time.
They do kind of keep failing over there at the Second City.
Well, like, I'm not up on the theater news.
Well, they need to update their model. Okay. Like, a bunch of black performers called them out real hard last year about making it an unsafe, not cool space for people, any diversity. Like, it was a big thing. So there's more, you know, a lot of stuff keeps happening over there at Second City, but, like, corporate fucking comedy factory machine shit. Like, that's what it has become, in my opinion.
Bummer.
And obviously it was always about making the money, but now you've just made it, like, even more fucking, no thank you, you know?
Boo. And that was Andrea's rant on the city of Chicago, the comedy scene, and also bars and restaurants that have gone corporate. No, I know. I think that's just, yeah. I was like, are our headlines sad this week? A little bit. Moving on. No, this one just popped up. I guess over the weekend, this was in New Jersey. Oh, my God. So this New Jersey vice principal of a middle school and his wife were having a shit fit at an outdoor eatery. It's called, like, the Swinging Lantern or something like that.
Fred and Esther. It's
Michael and Lisa Smarrow from New Jersey.
No. I was going to say the name of the business.
But anyways, it all starts out. They're having a nice little afternoon lunch, clearly after they were at some sort of Renaissance festival. And the wife, you know, takes it upon herself to, first of all, be like the gender identity police. And whether or not this person that went to use the bathroom was actually, you know, transgender, whatever, she started having a fit, calling it out, being like, that's a man in the women's restroom, and then screaming and getting exceedingly more angry about this person, this private citizen, this customer using the bathroom. And then when basically the restaurant owner, wait staff, and other customers were like, hey, lady, shut up. You're wrong. Stop spewing hate. You know, maybe you should be cut off and leave. Like, which was great. The whole restaurant was not tolerant of it. But they got more and more mad, of course, because Karen's going to Karen. And she was with a Michael. So it was a Michael and a Karen together, a killer combo. Then, you know, she got up and started like, oh, you're videotaping me? Well, you're either born a woman or you're born a man at birth. And then she was, you know, she was the gender police. It was amazing. And then her husband throws a beer at the people at the diners who are videotaping them, saying like, stop spewing your transphobic hate, get out of here. And then he's identified as a middle school vice principal. So he's under investigation right now. But truly, I mean, I hate to bring up that this is, you know, of course happening, but to me, the silver lining is New Jersey, which, believe it or not, not the most woke part of the country, is pretty much the diners, the staff, and the owner were all like, there is no room for your shenanigans here.
Yeah, yeah. I read a separate article that quoted the server as saying, like, you know, I'll go get my manager. And she was like, there's a man in the women's restroom. And she was like, I don't have a problem with that. You are the one that has a problem with that. So well, you right. should probably go. You need to go.
You need to go. Clearly, this is very upsetting to you. Everyone else is having a nice... This is the thing. I was dying posting those videos of the retail guy who's like, every time I come here, my order's messed up. And then he goes, maybe you're the problem. Maybe you're the one messing it up. And which, you know, it's like, everyone else is fine. Look inward. Look in the mirror, okay? Just go. Like, no one else is in an uproar. And, you know, and it sucks because I it's just like, we don't have time at a restaurant where people are drinking to educate and correct this woman who's so deeply lost in her beliefs. Sometimes all we have time to do is pick up our camera phone and shame them. And then they get shamed and learn, you know, when they have to issue a statement of apology and then maybe be like, was that wrong? Was that wrong?
Right.
And then
take
maybe
her back to the Ren fan, throw tomatoes at her.
That's my favorite thing is, okay, so she's sitting there with a flower crown on her Karen head, looking like a New Jersey trash, like mall wife. And he's got on like a little like Robin of Sherwood fucking Robin Hood hat on his head. He looks like fucking Pinocchio and also wearing a Superman t-shirt.
I thought he was like wearing like an old like military like cap before I read that they had just come from a Ren fair when I first saw the footage.
Right. And she's sitting here going like, pick one, either you're a man or a woman. And I'm like, well, you guys can't choose if you're House Stark or Lannister. Like fucking they're like... You two, of all crazy people, spewing about the way anyone should be right now.
I know. When you just came from like a Ren fair with a bunch of nerds who probably feel exactly the opposite that you do, just like everybody at this restaurant. And the thing is gender neutral restroom laws have been in place all over the country for like years at this point.
Right.
And I did a little research and they definitely have the like whoever wants to use it can use it situation. And you're just fucking peeing, man. Like, that's what I'm just like. When does like having to take a dump become someone being a sexual predator? You know, like when is and that's what. Ugh, and we don't have to get so deep in that.
I know. But she stinks, and it's just been debunked over and over and over again, and it's the most damaging, lazy opinion to hold, which because it helps you from having to examine your hatred and your inability to have empathy for someone going through an experience that you aren't personally going through to just use the blanket worry that because someone who has transitioned from male to female is in there and wants to touch you, Karen, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. No one wants to touch you, Karen. Okay. And stop using that lazy excuse. It's statistically proven in general that not only are not gay men or women any more like any likely at all actually to be child abusers, it is typically white, cis, straight pretending men. And it's definitely not transgender people. So get off your high horse and take a look at your husband, Karen. That's statistically who is going to be a child predator. I'm dead ass serious. Prove me wrong.
Okay.
Prove me wrong. But I'm so tired of that lazy ass, weak, fake, hateful defense about why someone who has changed their gender shouldn't be in a bathroom. It's all fucking lies and not based on a true statistic.
It's fucking over it. I mean, we should, yeah, it's all ridiculous.
Take your flower crown off, Karen. Fucking God, sorry, that one. Anyways, shall we read some server
submitted
stories?
Yes.
Here we go. This one's coming at us from our neighbor in the north, Canada. Okay. Hello, ladies. A neighbor from the north in Canada here. I manage at a restaurant that is of the Mongolian grill kind. For any listener who doesn't know what that is, it is a flat top grill in the middle of the restaurant where guests choose their own ingredients and our cooks grill their food in front of them. This pandemic has been a real change since our provincial mandates haven't allowed buffet or buffet style restaurants, which we've talked about, to operate like normal. And that's understandable. So she says, we've been operating by way of a checklist style order form over the last year, kind of like when you do a sushi or like a teppanyaki or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So guests fill out the menu, sheet, which allows them to customize what ingredients they want, and then our staff assembles and makes the bowls for them. Sort of sounds like a restaurant when you order off the menu. Anyways, that in itself has been an issue with assholes who think the pandemic is just one huge inconvenience to them and throw a fit when they realize they can't make the food themselves. I've seen grown men throw tantrums and storm out of the restaurant before they've even stepped foot inside because, quote unquote, you don't make the food the way I like to make my food. People are blowing my mind today. People are just whatever. It's like, isn't that called stay at home and you can have it how you like it? Have it your way. Have it your way, Kevin. Okay. So our province's current regulations allow for dine-in at restaurants, but tables must be same household only. Good luck with that. Okay. You also have to wear a mask upon entering the restaurant and are only to take it off once seated at your table. Very customary, similar to dining here in America. And no, walking to the bathroom doesn't make you exempt from this mask rule, although unsurprisingly, many douchebags seem to think it does. Last night, a table walked in of two guys who had their masks all the way down under their chins. They looked like the Wish.com version of Cheech and Chong and smelled like they hadn't bathed since pre-pandemic times.
Oh, dear.
Oh, interesting. She's like, the first guy was wearing a Mexican poncho that looked like it had been fished out of a dumpster. And on one foot was a shoe and the other foot a sandal. Oh boy. The other guy was sweaty and had no eye. Okay. So she means he was missing an eye. I reluctantly got them sat and explained how it worked. After explaining no less than three times that they could not make their own food, they filled the menu forms out and we got their bowls all made up. The one eye guy kept leaving his seat to come up to me at the grill to bark orders as I made his food. And each time I had to tell him to pull his mask up as he did so. Oh, God. Once his food was made and dropped off to him, he kept bringing his bowl back up to the grill counter to add the finishing sauces and other fixins that only our staff were allowed to handle. Oh, God. Okay. On top of having to tell the one-eye guy to pull his mask up, I also had to explain several times that I have to handle the sauce bottles for him. He also kept getting up in between bites to wander around outside in the parking lot. She's like, thank God the restaurant wasn't busy because these guys were a nightmare to serve and also babysit. Eventually, these assholes finished up, paid, and left a giant mess for the server and I to clean up. It looked like a busload of toddlers had come to eat and throw food at each other. Oh, God. I told you, we've been in quarantine for a year. We've really lost all of our social skills.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm putting on one sandal and one shoe. I have so many more horror stories for a different email, but I want to thank you, ladies, for all you do. Stay safe, and here's to hoping the vaccine becomes available to all Canadians sooner rather than later. Godspeed and good tips, and wear your fucking mask, B. Oy.
Oh,
yeah, that's just an exhausting.
yeah, that's so exhausting. I would even, oh man, the fact that they just still let people like fill it out as opposed to even just being like, here's like five options now. This is all you get. Like, what a thing to navigate. I think we've talked about Mongolian grills in the past. I'm sure we have, and how like fucking insane they are.
Well, right. Yeah. And people don't know how to make food. And so it's
exactly.
always, it's like
if you want to, oh, I'm sorry. I like to ruin my food myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do believe cheddar cheese is an integral flavor in Szechuan.
Yeah. And peanut butter as well. Cheese and peanut butter.
It really is like stay home, Darren. My gosh. And just like we've heard over and over again during this pandemic, it's not just serving. It's been full-time babysitting customers. It's such an extra layer of like, please put your mask up. Please put it on when you go to the bathroom. Could you please stay in your section at your table and stop wandering around?
Like, I know it is. And, you know, I know people who are teaching preschool and teaching like toddlers right now. And those toddlers don't have any problems keeping their masks on all day from what I hear. It's totally fine with them.
Go away.
Oh, boy. Well, next story, shall we?
Oh, yes.
All right. So I always thought one of the weirdest things about bartending was that the shots are different everywhere you go. Even common ones have a slightly different recipe all over the country. This is one of my favorite of all time, so I hope some bartender somewhere hears this story and uses it on someone who deserves it. The Blue Wave, a shot that can really only be used in certain instances and requires serious discretion. We usually got requests for it for boys' 21st birthdays, and that is the occasion for this particular story. This kid was turning 21 and being just belligerently drunk. He kept demanding another shot, despite everyone else assuring them that he did not need any more. He was being so pushy and annoying, going as far as cornering me in the server station away from his friends to convince me.
Gross.
Wow, my. I was about to kick him out when his friend walked by on his way to the bathroom. I suggested buying the birthday boy a Blue Wave. His buddy was all in. I arrived at the table and delivered instructions on how to execute this two-part shot. You shout, "Give me the blue," and I hand you the first shot. And then you shout, "Give me the wave," and I hand you the second shot. "Give me the blue," he exclaimed, and I gave him a shot of a UV blue, and he took it like a champ. "Give me the wave," he bellowed, and I threw the second shot, which is just a cup of water, directly into his face. so good. Luckily, if someone feels comfortable buying this shot for their friend, they know they'll react appropriately. He laughed it off. They all joked about the splash helping to sober him up, and then they tipped me heavily for creativity and participation. Here's a video attached of someone receiving a Blue Wave, which we'll definitely post on social media. This isn't that specific instance, but it's a good example for you guys to laugh at. Love you forever. Talk to you later, Gabby.
Oh,
fuck yeah.
Hell,
I love a prank.
Yes, it's just so good, especially when your friends are in on it. And it's like, these are those occasions when, as a server, you get away with throwing water in someone's face.
God.
And you get tipped for it.
So fun. I love it so much. Gabby, you're the best. B, you're the best. You guys, as always, please send us those server submitted stories. We're still looking for a whole fresh batch.
I think she sent us two different emails, and I think one of her subject lines was "Heard you dry down there."
It's true. Yeah, we need to moisten up, replenish, if you will, the server submitted story stack.
That's right.
We know it may be busy out there for you guys with the world is opening back up. When you have time, if you've been sitting on a chestnut, send it our way at sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, guys, getting into the topic of the day. Today we're going to finally talk about bakeries, Brooke.
Yes, and like, let's be clear, they are not a coffee shop that sells baked goods. They are their own crazy workplace with its own set of customers, its own protocol, its own wild hours. It is a different type of service industry. Backbreaking work, let's be honest.
Real hard. Real, real hard work. And also fucking ancient work, Brooke.
Ancient.
Like, bread is life. Bread is life.
Yes, bread is life.
Baked goods have been around for thousands of years, according to Wikipedia. The art of baking was developed early in the Roman Empire. It was a highly famous art as far as, you know, Roman citizens were concerned because they loved the baked goods and demanded them frequently for feasts and weddings. And because of it, basically, like, you had to have the mills to grind the flour and the grains. And then because they were like, somebody else do this. We can't just do this in our own homes. And so the art of baking was born. Bakeries were born in 168 BC in Rome. Can you believe it?
That's a long time ago since bread's been around. Is that why there are brands called Ancient Grains?
Oh, yeah. That's why, Brooke. You nailed it.
Okay.
The desire for baked goods promoted baking throughout Europe and expanded into parts of Asia. I assume, you know, as we get the old spice trail happens and people are like traveling from here to there selling their goods, like the art of bread baking just went along with it. Not to mention, obviously, all the bread that like came out of like the Middle East area, too. So it's been happening forever. Cut to 1660, when pastry was invented, the same year as whipped cream.
Ew.
Yeah,
that's a real meat cute of ingredients, I must say. That's when stuff got very like let them eat cake, David. Been watching a lot of Schitt's Creek.
I do think Marie Antoinette would like totally be like an Alexis.
Be like an Alexis or a Moira. 100.
I know that's quite the jump from 168 BC to 1660, but you know, we're not a bread show. We're just talking about bakeries today. I will go to sliced bread being invented in 1928, though. So, you know, that's when the more conveniences, I think maybe some art started to be lost at that point with the conveniences and industrial fucking revolution that destroyed this country and the environment.
Oh, God. I know, right? Like, everything is like, carbs are the reason you're going to die young, you know? Bread is killing us.
We decided to slice this bread for you since you'll be working a 16-hour work shift every day.
Well, I mean, like, bread is like when you think, and we'll get into like the actual job current day version of it, but it is every time you've watched like a period piece or, you know, people on an epic journey with their with their cloth, with
Middle Earth. Hello.
Exactly. And like a stump of bread, and you're like, oh, that's all they've got, but it tastes so good to them and it's sustaining.
You better make it last.
Yeah. Gotta make that bread last. And I mean, like, it's in all the Jesus fables. Mm-hmm. You know, he's big for bread. People know him for his bread stories. And But it really is that, and it is like a most prized possession because of how you can, you know, you could have a big, thick, fluffy, crusty, dense bread, or if you have to make your dough lighter, you know, that's maybe where you get more of like a thin pita, or, you know,
like a flatbread,
you know,
leaven bread, if you will.
Exactly. They're all so, anyways, I mean, but people like, it is a part of
life,
honestly, and every culture has their version of it. And everyone's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs about bread, and hence bakeries are just about a part of everyday fucking life. When you think of someone like, I'm going to the market this morning, and you need your proteins, some vegetables, some fruits, and like, you're always grabbing some bread, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, even before that, it was like everything was separated. So you have like your butcher, your baker, you have like your veggie hawker, like all that stuff. But like, what we're laying the groundwork for this being like what everybody does. Brooke, did you ever work in a bakery?
I mean, as close to it as, yes, like a bagel bakery. I mean, whatever you want to call that, like a bagel factory. So a Brugger's 100% worked there, and we had crazy killer shifts. I was not one of the bakers, but I learned how to do it, and they would let me throw them into the boiling water every once in a while.
That's so fun.
It was pretty fun. There's a magical alchemy that happens to make a delicious bagel. And also what James and I have spoken about, we worked in a bakery restaurant hybrid, which we worked hand in hand. We shared our kitchen with the bakery staff and our little nook, which was for basically the kitchen staff and the servers and our serving station. And it's like all day you'd smack into, you know, like Allison, our friend who was a baker and had a very different job than us. It's like we'd come in to start our shift at 7 a.m. and she was like on her fourth cup of coffee because she comes in at like 4 a.m. to start her shift.
Absolutely. And we have so much of this to dive into, but I worked at a place called the Lithuanian Bakery in Omaha, Nebraska, which I've talked about before.
Oh, yes.
Which is a little bit of an Omaha institution. And it was bakery slash little like cafe, known for their bread, which they have this like insane sourdough rye. Like, who doesn't want to eat that bread? Shove it in your face. And then the Lithuanian tort, which is like this crazy, like layered custard apricot.
Yes, like, you've pie. I think in one of our very early episodes, you talked about sneaking into the bathroom with an entire piece and shoving it in your mouth.
Yep, I did do that. I would sneak. I mean, when you work at a bakery and there's sweets around and you've never done it before, you're like, I'm going to shove it all in my face as much as possible. Like, it's very real. I would assume working at Sal Marie or Brugger's, in fact, that you're just like, yes, I eat carbs all day. Thank you.
I mean, I have a story about my time working there, which was a wild one. Even, you know, I don't think I've ever had a job that wasn't surrounded in controversy of some sort. Is it me? Maybe I need to look inward. Anyways, but it was one of those jobs where your little uniform stops fitting after a few months.
Yeah.
My disgusting khakis that I had to wear and the, you know, the work administered red itchy PK or whatever peak polo red shirt that you have to put on, like my tits were exploding out of there, my little gut. I mean if you work in a bakery, get ready, you will have a muffin top, you know. The rules.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. You know, your hair will turn into sticky buns if you, I don't know, like it'll be a lot.
But I mean, like, think about it, you know, too. It was like the mid 90s. None of us understood yet that carbs were the reason we were all gigantic Midwesterners, you know, like every meal was like pizza, pasta, sandwich. And then I was working at the bagel spot. And so you'd come in and have a delicious hot out of the oven bagel with cream cheese for breakfast. And then that's what you'd have, a bagel sandwich for your lunch before you left.
And then you would like take old bagels home.
That's all I would eat.
And give them to your friends. And you guys would get high and drunk and like eat bagels.
Yep. You said it.
Well, let's just like, jump into like the rhythm and like check off all the points of like, you know, ranting on what it's like to work in a bakery. You already touched on this a little bit, but like having early hours, right? So if you're a baker, you get up, I don't know, I'm saying 5 a.m. on like early mornings, maybe just to open the place, but like the bakers get there even before that, so like you're probably walking into work while like bars are closing, I would imagine.
Well, 100%, because we also have to, you know, consider, which is a huge part of it now, like if early morning breakfast or well-known brunch spot highlights the fact that they serve your bread, they have to be able to come either pick up their order, yes, or it has to be delivered well in time for them to be prepping their early morning shifts. So yes, you're like the early shift so that you can have bread for the other restaurants as well.
That are for the other early delivery guys. Yeah, it's a whole system. Yeah, how do you think you're going to get that delicious tartine bread on your plate with your salad?
Bob and Grandma's.
I will say I have hangry customers on here, and I think this goes for just the early morning rush. Although I think it's tamed down a little bit more at bakeries because I feel like if people are popping in for their like morning pastry, like they maybe have more of a rhythm involved if they're regulars, but you still get those like, I don't know you assholes in line, you know?
I mean, just in general, you know, we've spoken about it, just either working brunch or, I mean, I truly was a breakfast waitress. It wasn't brunch. You know, it's a very different crowd when you serve people breakfast. Breakfast shift is like, yes, you know what to do. Like you, before they even sit down, you are filling their coffee up for, yep, them and just putting it on the table. You don't ask. That's why a lot of breakfast and diner spots have mugs on the table, so that the first thing you're doing as a waiter is you flip them and you walk over with a carafe. And that's how you keep
smart,
the baby from not crying. You know what I'm saying?
I'm also thinking about like 24-hour donut places.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
that
God.
Like, I'm thinking of like Tangerine, you know, the movie Tangerine in Hollywood, where there's this donut place everybody goes to like around the clock, and how it's just like and even 24-hour donut places are like social. It's a lot of social activity. Like cops hang out there. Like they might all meet there at like 2 a.m. to like be on their break together. You're getting drunk people coming in. It's a that's a crazy fun.
It's a weird world.
Yeah.
And the thing too is like, you know, America is very much like we love our eggs, you know, we're European country. It's like everyone is like, no, it's strong coffee and a pastry or a biscuit. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm, that's what we do. That's how we start our day. So, I mean, like, we're covering like the American version of pastries because it's just a way bigger deal in Europe. But in general, like you said, you're dealing with low blood sugar, hangry assholes first thing in the morning. And you do have to get them that little bite sized something so that they will shut up, you know?
I think a lot of people too are like, you know, people being such creatures of habit that like people who come into bakeries, they get like the same exact thing every single day when they come in. I'm very much guilty in the most pleasurable way of just being like, yes, I need an almond croissant and an Americano, and like, here's a tip, I love you, bye, you know?
I mean, there was a time and place where that was a little more my palate, mm-hmm, and I it's easier for me. I want to sit down with it and have a delicious coffee, which yeah, because otherwise I'm never just going out for a pastry. Like for me, it's hand in hand. So we're kind of getting into coffee shop territory a little bit. Even though bakeries can serve coffee, it's sort of one of those weird things sometimes where if the bakery is the main show, the coffee can be such an afterthought sometimes.
Oh my God, it's the worst.
Bad coffee.
But there are a lot of like, you know, hybrid situations happening these days too. And that's, we know when you're talking about working at Cafe Sel Marie, where it's mm-hmm very much half and half, and like the cafe and bakery, right? And that's like the sign you see so much, right? And even bakeries who might not be restaurant or cafe, but specifically on the weekends, they open for a brunch situation or a modified brunch situation, which is like, changes the whole vibe and can, I don't know. I feel like I would stay far away on days like that.
Well, this is when it's like these workers truly do it all. It's backbreaking, you know, because not only are you doing your output for the in-house customers, there's so much takeaway because you're just dealing with two different types of customers. And that's how it used to be in Cafe Selma Marie all the time is sometimes you were afraid you were like getting a crazy rush in the dining room, but it was just the people rushing the bakery.
Oh, yeah.
But then also navigating between customers waiting in line who have no awareness of the fact that you were holding a tray, trying to go get pastry, dessert, or coffee for your tables in the dining. So like, it's a mess. It's a fucking mess.
When you work at a bakery, you're on your feet all day in a different way than you are.
Well, sure. Right. You are getting people their baker's dozens, you know, you do not, there is no hiding in a server station for people who work in a bakery.
And like having to like crawl into a display case to like grab the very specific fucking whatever pastry that like your customer is like, no, I want that one. I want that one. That's the one I want. Is a whole thing.
I mean, because we have, you know, we have people write in all the time about, you know, customers who are bakery customers, or they're like, I want like that woman named Linda or something who's like, I want a chocolate chip cookie with the least amount of chocolate chips.
Oh, yes.
Count them. If there are too many, I'll know, you know, and you're just like, oh, like bakeries really invite a completely different element of the community.
Absolutely.
into your service 100. Section. Oh, God.
So not only being on your feet, but like, have you seen how small of an area that like people have to work in behind these counters? Like you're on your feet and you're cramped quarters. And if you're anywhere where it's busy, it's just like behind, around. Here's the thing, not to mention like huge hot trays full of fresh pastries being like dumped into bins. Was it like that at Brugger's?
So there would be the display case, you know, if you also like if you didn't want to get. It was just such a mess. There was merchandise everywhere, a lot of moving pieces. So there were the cases then that people would come attack for like quick on the go. They'd get like two dozen and then get a bunch of containers of cream cheese to go. Mm-hmm. And then you'd get in trouble if you weren't keeping the display case stocked. You'd have to go and do quick inventories and then do backbreaking carts of all this crap you had to put back in there. So, it, you know, it's probably not unlike working in a Starbucks too, because they have that grab and go case, which people ravage.
Yeah. And were there the big, like the big silver, like stainless steel bins that would dump all the hot bagels into, like behind you see at bagel places?
Absolutely. But baskets, you know, and it just depends, and everything had to be, you know, because you can't be dumping your everything into where the raisin bagels are.
Whoa,
hello, we cannot
no.
have
what is this that is fucking,
a that is a gone? Maelstrom of flavor that no one's asking
parallel
for.
Universe I don't want to be a part of.
They
yet,
do not
sure.
You know, I'm like getting I'm getting so many weird feelings, but I think the other thing that you have to handle as well is like, you're very busy. You have to work fast, but especially if we're talking about like some torts, some pies, some cakes also, or bread, like this stuff is hot coming out of the oven. You have to handle it like it is fragile glass or artwork to get it safely into its home to maybe transfer it.
It is artwork.
And also just the dead empty eyes of people who are like, so all the biscuits are gone? And you're like,
yeah,
they're gone. Do you see them?
Right.
You gotta, you know, you snooze, you lose, buddy.
That's some aggressive fucking behavior when it comes to people who patronize bakeries. Like if, the early bird gets the worm or the fucking baguette in this case is what I
know,
will
like,
say.
Like some dick who's rolling in at 10:30 in the morning. You're like, I've been here since 4:00. The biscuits were gone at 7:00. You know, so they're like, all right, fine. I guess I'll clear out what you have of the honey wheat.
There's an amazing French bakery in Toluca Lake called Lou French on the Block. And through the pandemic, they really only open like 2 or 3 days a week now. And so the line, and you know, you can't go in. It's a tiny little place to begin with. There would be a line anyway. But like, I'll get up and it's been a minute, but I'll like get up and get out of bed at 7 a.m. to get in line. Just so, and by the time I leave, the line is like 20 or 30 deep and people just standing online. And when I get there, just saying, it's like when there's been mornings I've been there and like everyone's speaking French in line. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing it right. I'm doing it right, Brooke.
That's, I mean, the closest I can compare it to is not understanding what the big deal is about Portos and then being caught off guard. Well, no, I do now, but
yeah.
When it's like, I'm just going to pop in and get something real quick to, and it's like, no, you're not. No, yeah. You're not.
It's a
30 minute line. You're not popping in to get something. It is never not crawling with people.
Yeah, we're talking about this amazing Cuban bakery here in the city called Portos that is like a fucking treasure trove. Like, it's a huge deal. Not only do they have like delicious cubanos and like potato balls and all the delicious Cuban things you can get, the bakery case is probably like half a mile long. They must have in full swing pre-pandemic mode, I would say no less than probably 30 counter workers at any given time. Like, I mean, it's a well-oiled machine.
It really is. It's a wild place. And
it is a round-the-clock operation.
It's, yeah. And when you just paint that picture of that many employees working there and you still wait for 30 minutes, that tells you how popular and busy and delicious this place is.
Oh, yeah.
And right. People do, like, even Ken talking about that guy, that Italian guy who flipped out that the potato balls or something were gone. And he goes, I just really like them.
People get
out.
So butthurt. And I get it. You have it in your head that you want this thing, this idea of it, and then you don't get it. I get it. But fucking got to get your shit together and get
you
got to
get it together. Every day at a bakery is Black Friday. Okay.
So I was looking up the take a ticket machines earlier.
Oh, God.
Just to see if they had like a specific name. No, they're just called like take a number machine.
Deli tickets.
Yeah, or bakery. Yeah, but bakery is very, very well known to get online for. And ever since then, every pop up ad on my screen is for those machines.
God, yeah, because we were gonna buy one. Internet, way to go, algorithm. Jesus,
it would be like a funny nostalgic thing to have like in your kitchen maybe, but I mean so many memories of like holding those numbers or calling out someone's number,
right,
at the same time,
right.
You know, and for people it is a race to be like, oh, that I'm gonna like quick step so I can get three steps ahead of that person so I get the number before them. People, you make it a competition by having that machine, I think is what it is.
Oh yeah absolutely. You know, and then you have on our document here, like, you know, the weekend warriors, and I can attest to how different it is. You've got your commuters on a Monday through Friday.
Yep.
We are all like the weeks, you know, the weekday and week morning staff. We know our regulars. We know what they want. There's a lot of anticipation. You just nail it. You know, everyone is in a flow together. And then the weekend rolls through and it's someone who keeps going, everyone get in here. Hi. My family's in for the weekend. So what do you guys do?
Yeah.
What is
that? This is what I get. Not to mention a lot of like really well-established bakeries or, you know, neighborhood community. I mean, everybody has their own neighborhood bakery they love. They might do very specific things just on weekends, which throws everything for a loop because you have like people who don't know how to behave and like four more things to navigate, you know?
Yes. Right. And then, like you mentioned, this might be the days also when the owner is like, we're also a restaurant, you know, and it's like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's a lot. Okay. Let's just say it. Holidays. Oh, fuck. Oh, Christ.
This is when you do get the aggression and the cursing and like the husband who it's like he had one thing to do and that was to like order the pie or the whatever. He hasn't done it. Then he calls and starts screaming. He's like, what do you mean you can't just make another one? I'm going to get a divorce. Like, you know.
Yeah. I'm also going to say holidays is also birthdays at this, you know.
Well, yes. Holidays, birthdays, any big event where there's that one person in the family who's definitely going to drop the ball.
Flub it up.
Flub it up.
I mean, not to mention all the many, many hilarious, like, BuzzFeed listings or all the lists of, like, photos of, like, accidental flubs on font on cakes. I adore.
Oh.
I mean, who doesn't want that? You know, and I think at the end of it is, like, working in a bakery is just a goddamn mess, Brooke.
Well, yes. It's, you know, like, because when it all comes together perfectly, it's chemistry that tastes delicious.
Science.
But the fallout is you do go home covered in icing, flour.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, maybe there's a lot of cornmeal in your shoes, which we understand can be a good thing for some. For some people, they choose to do that.
It's true. If you want to do like a little bit of like a Gregory Hines like shuffle, if you're tap dancing, you know, you might be attracting more bees than you normally do after getting off a shift at a bakery. No big deal.
But I mean, like these folks, they are your like third shift people. They work, you know, the bakers themselves and the people who open the bakeries. Like, it's a lifestyle, and I've done it. You get into the flow. You just kind of learn that you're probably, especially if you're young, you're like, hey, these are just the days of the week when I go to work on about 3 to 4 hours of sleep, and then I just take a big nap when I go home.
It's true.
And I repeat the cycle.
There's such good stuff though about, you know, bakeries, and I think we already kind of
the product
delicious fucking goodness, like where you can't, I didn't bake in quarantine.
No.
I tried to make bread. It didn't go well. There's a few things I can execute well, but like that's where I leave it to the experts to like scratch that itch for me, you know? Like, I don't have time to laminate croissant dough. I don't have time for that. I need the experts of precision to do it, Brooke.
Oh, my God. And I just remembered that down the street from me in Brooklyn at one of my old spots in South Park Slope, I think it was called Mirasol or Girasol. It was a bakery. It was a Mexican bakery. So all of your classic, you know, Mexican party cookies, wedding.
Panaderia.
It was a panaderia, right?
Panaderia, yes.
But at night, they also turned on a flat top and made tortas and tacos.
Whoa.
And so that was something I could get down with. I was like,
like the hairs on my head just stood up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We would be wasted at 3 a.m. and go into a panaderia and then also maybe get like a sugar laden cookie to go with our tacos that we were taking home.
I love savory pastry. I love a savory pastry situation. But I just think like being a part of the community, right? Like, just offering like different neighborhoods, different ethnicities, having their take on it, or just being that like amazing neighborhood joint that like brings all sorts of people together to fucking eat sweets. It's a really beautiful thing.
Well,
that we said at the beginning has like stood the test of time. This has been happening forever.
Forget it. Yeah, because the other side of my neighborhood was all the Italian bakeries where you're going to get your breads. You're going to get your little beautiful cookies with amaretto. Mm-hmm. You're getting your affogato. You're getting all the neighborhood mafia, and I'm not kidding, stand outside literally drinking out of one tiny espresso cup all fucking day because it's their license to just hang out there and smoke. And it's just like, it's such a vibe. It's such a thing. And I told you, it's the first time like in an Italian bakery that I'd ever truly tried a cannoli, and my mind was expanded. And I was like, hell yeah, baby.
Good cannoli does change your life in a way.
Yes, it does.
Well, gosh, you guys, please send us your bakery stories if you have them.
If you've worked in them, they're such a specific part of the service industry. I have to say, there's like a lot of respect. You're not allowed. I mean, like, I'm not saying you can't sneak a flask into work, but it's just not that type of work environment.
No.
You guys are like the OG, the warriors, you know. This is a really tough and specific line of work.
I would imagine most of you don't have any hair left on your arms because of the oven.
Well, you know, Aaliyah, like our dear friend Aaliyah is a pastry chef. And, you know, she wears her oven rack scars and stripes on her arms very, very proudly.
So great. I want bread and pastry now.
I know, I'm hungry. I haven't had breakfast yet.
Well, you guys, thanks for listening. Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed.
And good tips.
Good health, everybody. We will talk to you again next week. Thank you.